especially as the marketing manager, I see when we announce shows, you know, everybody's on Facebook, like tagging who they want to go with, and they're so excited. And like, we love seeing that. And we love even more when people really come out and show up, because it shows not only the venue, but it shows all of our connections. Like, hey, this stuff works here. Let's keep doing it and let's try new things.
Thanks for joining us on Louisiana's Playground Podcast, your roadmap to all things Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm Brady Raynard.
And I'm Jillian Corder. We're excited to bring you the authentic stories and experiences of Southwest Louisiana with all the tools that you need to build your own personal Lake Charles itinerary.
We've got a terrific show. Stop me if you've heard it before. For you today, episode 59 of Louisiana's Playground Podcast. I still can't believe we're already up to 59 episodes on a bi-weekly basis.
The year just flies by.
That's right. And going into the new year, 2025, we have a lot of great events coming this way. National events, national names, from entertainment to music to comedy. And we are so excited to kind of touch on some of those that are coming to the Lake Charles Event Center. So we'll be talking to Emily Gordonier about everything that's going on to the Event Center, downtown Lake Charles. A lot going on at the building itself. A big announcement recently.
That's right.
A lot of fun. And look at old Lake Charles moving up.
Yeah. Moving on up. All right, so we're going to begin the show as we always do with a taste of Southwest Louisiana. It's a segment that we call On V Eats.
And this week we head to one of the most unique restaurants in Lake Charles. And I say that because Prime Butcher and Brasserie at one point was just a butcher shop.
That's right.
And then they've kind of grown and elevated what they have become into now. They're a meat market that is also a restaurant, and they do both exceptionally, and they both lend into each other. And man, it's a really good time.
Yeah. And you can see that those roots as a meat market, right, still shine through on their menu. Everything you order has like a unique touch. It's made in house. All the ingredients are super fresh and so well prepared. This was my first time ever going there, and it's definitely on one of my favorites list now.
Absolutely. And that, you know, you mentioned things made in home, things like boudin. They're able to do all the different cuts of meat and offer some things that aren't on most menus, things like escargot.
Exactly.
Which we'll get to in a minute.
Yes, we will.
You know, they get their seafood in from the Gulf, so it's fresh Gulf seafood. They even mix their burgers a little differently.
Yeah.
They use both pork and beef to kind of create a nice, fatty, perfect burger. And so in the 9 years they've been open, they are absolutely doing it and doing it well. And in fact, places have regulars, right?
Sure.
Some places like Prime have regulars. On the wall were two different families that had a counter of how many visits they've been. One of which,
trying to outdo each other,
was over 600, and I think it was in the 660s, which means, I did the math, they visit on average once every 5 days since it's been open in 2015.
Wow. Wow. Okay. I may not be able to go there that often. Because I have a lot of favorites, you see, that I got to put in the rotation,
sure,
right?
Sure.
But
isn't
it's
awesome?
Worth going back
That's
to,
That's so
though.
Cool. I thought that was
that
awesome.
That is really
and
cool.
Especially because they celebrate it on their wall.
That
it
is really cool.
It said something like congratulating blank on their blank visit, the what family on their
That's
blank
amazing.
Visit. So awesome.
So yeah, and like Brady said, the menu is unique. It's a really cool mix of both like your classic casual dishes, so like burgers, boudin balls, you know, egg rolls, things like that. But then with really upscale options like, you know, great cuts of steak, escargot on the menu. And that is one of the things we order.
Yeah, let's start with that. We've got a couple appetizers, one of which was the escargot, which if you're not culinary leaning or don't speak French, it's snail.
It's snail. And more than that, it's garlic and it's butter. And it's cheesy.
And they had a beautiful escargot dish that has each little individual compartments where each of the snails go into.
How it is normally served.
And
yes.
It is covered in butter and that garlic and the
amazing.
Cheese. And it is so, so good. You know, the consistency is something like a mushroom or oyster consistency to it.
Yeah, it's not everyone's
texture.
Cup of tea. Okay.
Sure, sure.
So, like, I will say straight up, the consistency of it, not like my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. But the flavor there,
so good.
It's served with like a baguette. And so like me just dipping bread into the cheesy garlic, you know, butter mixture that's with it, that you're fine.
Yeah.
I'll lick the plate clean. You so good, can, though. Brady can eat all the actual escargot.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed it, especially as someone that likes crustaceans, you know, yeah. It's not a far cry from it. So I'm an escargot fan, and I thought it was done very, very well. The smell is so intoxicating when they bring it to the
table. We also got boudin egg rolls, though, as an appetizer.
And as you know, this is an egg roll podcast. We love egg rolls on this podcast. And, man, theirs were really good. Mm-hmm. I learned this term from a chef at Puzo Street Cafe, funny enough. When something is so crispy, it's like breaking glass. It had such a crisp to it. It was like chewing glass in the best way possible, right? Like it's so crispy, the egg roll exterior.
That perfect patisserie.
Yes.
See, I watched the Great British Baking Show.
I love that.
Yeah.
You can tell that it's homemade. It you know, this is something that they make in-house.
Yeah.
Because the egg rolls are each look different than the next egg roll.
Sure.
And it adds so much to the charm of it and the flavor. It might be up there for my favorite boudin product in Southwest Louisiana.
Interesting. Yeah, so it is their boudin, and also got the melted cheese inside it. Really incredible spices in there.
I agree.
Like really flavorful. And if it's not enough flavor packed into it for you, it also comes with pepper jelly, which is very good.
That sweet adds to it, and it's just a nice little sweetness to it.
Yeah.
I liked it both with and without the pepper jelly.
Same. It doesn't need it by any means, but it is the perfect addition to it.
Right. I would say you shouldn't go there for the first time and not get them for the table.
This is a must, I think, for the table.
I would say that. Like, as far as our entrees, they sold us with the pork and beef combo burger. You had to get them. And plus, their burger also comes highly recommended.
It does. And so I thought, why not get that on the menu, right? The thing that everybody says is so good. And they were right. Everybody, no one lied. No lies. It's a mix, like Brady said, of pork and beef. It's super juicy. Like no portion of it is dry at all.
Yep.
Came with grilled onions on it and crispy bacon. And I don't even normally get toppings like that on a burger. I'm like a meat and cheese gal. But I wanted it the way it's served, right? And it was delicious. The grilled onions, so good. Crispy bacon. It's not just like a basic burger. It's so flavorful. And it comes on that Kaiser roll that's just incredibly buttery, too.
And different than a lot of other bread buns that are given.
Sure. It's not like your standard like white bread roll bun or your sourdough, you know, which I love too. But this was just, it was an escape a little bit. Like it was just a really good burger that I haven't had one like this in a while.
It's something a little different. And I think because of it, the meat shines, the bun's able to kind of shine, and it all is a harmonious little concert of burger.
It was quite good. Also, like I know everybody thinks, oh, French fries are French fry, but this came with fries. They're delicious. They're the kind that, you know, they roll in like cornstarch, so they're like super crispy and they got the little flake.
The natural cut.
Yeah, they got the flake on them. Oh, they were good. Quite good.
I went with the brisket sandwich.
Mm.
And I have nothing else to say, but it was delicious.
It was beautiful, too.
Yeah, it was. Kind of a light barbecue sauce, so they don't go too heavy. Once again, letting all that work, all that slow cook on the brisket shine and really show off what they do well. It was also in a Kaiser roll, and it's so soft and fluffy. And it's a nice texture difference from the meats inside. So the brisket sandwich, very, very good. It's really hard to go wrong with anything that we've had on the menu. There was some, I wanted to try the ribeye bites as the appetizer. We didn't get a chance to.
Yeah.
And so we definitely have to go back because there was about 5 or 6 items I was like, ooh, well, I really want to try.
There like was an entire po' boy section that I was like, I kind of want to try one of each of those.
I could guarantee you the hamburger steak is probably the best hamburger steak you'll ever eat.
Yeah. So, I mean, everything on the menu, you could tell it was cultivated in with a lot of thought.
I didn't want to double up on hamburger with what you were getting, so but that might be the one regret in life unless well, I go back very soon.
Maybe we can go tomorrow.
Yeah,
okay.
So well, and the location is conveniently off of I-210, just a few minutes off I-210 and Nelson Road, about 10 minutes, a little bit, maybe a little bit more, depending on traffic from McNeese and Burton. So it definitely can be part of your stop if you're interested.
Sure.
They are only open as of this recording 4 days a week, so yeah, just make sure that if you're looking that those kind of line
also
up.
If you're headed down to play golf, the golf courses are down there, that direction off Country Club Road. Yep. So this is a really great location if you're
good
stopping
point
by to do that too.
Yeah, good point. That's a good one.
Yeah, thanks.
And maybe
thanks,
if you go enough, you can get your name on the wall as part of
that. Is
you
what
just, you just have like 600 and something visits to catch
that's
up on.
That's what I'm going to work toward. So we can go ahead and put Reynard up there with a one tally beside it, and we'll work on that. But maybe you can get your name on there too. Definitely stop by Prime if you're visiting Lake Charles.
And now let's segue into our guest. I will be flying solo for this one. Jillian had to step out. So as we always do, from a great meal to a great guest, we welcome on Emily Gordonier. She's still a fresh Lake Charles resident, having only been here for a couple of years, but her marketing roots run deep from retail to luxury and now in event marketing with the Lake Charles Event Center. And she comes onto the podcast to tell us all about all kinds of fun events coming our way in 2025. Welcome to the show, Emily.
Hey, how are you?
Doing good, doing good. So as I'm sure you found out in the last few years living here, Lake Charles is really known for big city amenities, but we still have a real small town charm to us, right? And it makes a variety of experiences that you can add to your itinerary if you're in town or if you live here, from things like food, outdoor adventures, and all the national and regional entertainment acts that the Lake area draws, which you are obviously very familiar with. So before we get started, we like to play a little bit of a rapid fire question game.
Okay, let's go.
All right. Crawfish or gumbo?
Oh, gumbo.
Why?
I have tried crawfish several times, and I think there's just, it's like the juice isn't worth the squeeze for me.
Okay.
I'm also not a huge seafood person, so let's preface it with that. I just started eating
seafood. Yeah, that's
probably
where it starts.
It starts there.
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, it's just so spicy, too. I definitely, like, that's reflective of the northern part of me.
I was about to say, so from the Jersey area, seafood probably isn't everywhere.
No, and it's really different too. So up there, I mean, you have a lot of Italian influences, and that mm-hmm. type of cooking is totally different. And would definitely, just the spice level in general is different. And I'm glad I have it now because I like it. I love it. I'm
sure.
Just still getting used to it.
All right. Question two. Poolside or beachside?
Beach, always.
The laissez-faire, the outside, what is it?
Yeah, I think it ties back to my Jersey roots, going to down the shore.
Sure.
Growing up. I just love it. And I also love that you can drive on the beach here. I have a mm-hmm. Jeep, so taking it down to Rutherford or Holly is just—
Isn't it awesome?
My favorite
thing. Jeep, hey, look at this Jeep life over here. All right, concert or comedy show? Are you legally allowed to answer this?
I don't know. I feel like I should think about this one. Honestly, comedy show.
Yeah?
Yeah, which is funny because I love music. I'm a theater mm-hmm. kid. I'm a performer in that way. But I love laughing. I love comedy shows, especially in person. I'm not a huge comedy movie fan.
Okay.
But in-person comedy, there's just something about it. Stand-up can be so, so great.
Comedy movies aren't the same anymore, too. I don't mean to sound like an old man yelling at the clouds.
I know.
But it really
not.
Feels like there was a special time from like the 80s to like mid 2000s. It was like a 25-year
yeah.
period where they were so good.
Yeah.
And I don't think we have that anymore. But let's get back on topic. Lake Charles Event Center, a big name change about this time last year, right? The Civic Center went into a rebrand into the Lake Charles Event Center. What meaningful change have you guys seen from that name change, that rebrand, when it comes to, I don't know, like attracting events?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's hard for me to say that the name change has a direct impact on the programming that we see come through, but I think it really just is more reflective of aligning the new vision for the building and mm-hmm. broadening the reach that we're looking to have and what events we're looking to attract. I think if you like look back to when the building opened in 1972, the way that we lived life was so different compared to now. You know, traveling was different. The way that we consumed entertainment and media mm-hmm. was different. So renaming to Event Center reflects like the time that we're in now, where we have extremely personalized media in our phone. We can travel between cities so easily. And so I think now, you know, an event center is a little bit bigger. We don't go to Houston and go to the Houston Civic Center to see concerts. We go to Energy Park. And same thing with the Superdome. So I think it just elevates a little bit. And I think that's great.
Sure. You had mentioned with the types of shows that y'all are looking for. What is that in a vacuum?
I definitely think the biggest thing is bringing value to the community, shows that haven't been here before or haven't been here in a while, things that are going to satisfy the appetite for everybody. We know that we're a really family-driven community here, but we also have a really growing audience of like college age and young adults, people who aren't married with kids yet. And so making sure that everybody feels like they have a show to see at the event center is important.
Yeah, I think we've been to a couple times before Monster Trucks.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to let you think. Do I have children? I think I've been to Baby Shark, Monster Trucks, and it was another Baby Shark-esque show.
Yeah.
Paw Patrol. Yeah. Yeah.
I would say yes, you probably
have kids. You have kids or weird interests.
Yeah, I was going to say it's one of the two.
Speaking of 2025, on the horizon, can you give us a general overview of the upcoming event calendar? Because I know it's slammed.
Yeah, it's so busy, especially through March. So we start off the year with the Drifters, Coasters, and Platters, which I didn't know who by name. I didn't know who they were, but you absolutely know the songs. These are these classic songs from the 60s and 70s, like This Magic Moment and Only You, ones that are getting remixed on TikTok right now. Like, they're great. So that's going to be really cool to see. We have comedy coming into Rosa Hart. There's a couple dance shows coming in. We have The Taste of Ireland and The Great Gatsby Ballet. And then, of course, I think the biggest event that we're all looking to right now is Riley Green in May. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. What of those specifically are your can't miss shows? Do you have two or three that you say like, man, if you're into this, you can't miss this?
Yeah, I would say if you're into comedy, you absolutely have to come see Who's Live Anyway, which is the cast from Whose Line Is It Anyway, classic.
When that was announced, it's like such a blast from the past, especially because I think on this tour, Greg Proops, who's been on there a lot, and then obviously Ryan Stiles,
yes,
who cut his teeth a lot with like Drew Carey on The Drew Carey Show, and then eventually with Drew Carey on Whose Line.
Yeah.
And so you see those names, you're like, man, I just remember watching those nonstop.
Yes. Every day after. Yeah. Every day after school, I would just watch them and they're great. So that's for me, my can't miss show. And I also think The Great Gatsby Ballet that's coming. I have never actually seen a ballet full. And, you know, I missed the Nutcracker because I was out of town. And so I'm excited to see the ballet. I think that's a really cool theme, too, for it. So that one.
Absolutely. And I was kind of looking into them. They tour a lot with that group and to a lot of big venues as well. So that should be a lot of fun. So with those types of events, what goes into the selecting of them, ensuring, you know, like you said, you wanted to make sure there was something for everyone. Well, what goes into that?
Yeah, there's so much that goes into it. And I love this question. I get asked this question at work and outside of work all the time. And it really is, it's less about us kind of sitting in a room and saying like, we want this show. There's so much data that goes into how things get routed to us. There's logistic and technical capabilities and requirements that we have to meet, to have a show come in. There's also a lot of data that they look at. So, they look at market data from different media outlets locally. They'll look at our past sales based on genre and artist and see how things have performed. And then from a touring perspective, you know, depending on where the show is going geographically, mm-hmm. they kind of have, based on the act, different kind of radiuses that they like to hit for how close shows are together. So there's so much that goes into it. And, you know, then we have our partners through ASM that have really great networking, you know, connections and can help advocate for us as a venue, especially since we're newer in that landscape. You know, the venue's been sort of quiet for a couple years. And so now that we're getting active in programming again, it's really great to see all the things that they're kind of testing and seeing what works for this audience.
So, and when it comes to some of the technical stuff, the not fun things to talk about, is that something that you guys are always focused on trying to improve so that you start meeting the requirements?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, that's how we can stay competitive and make sure that we're, you know, bringing the best in class from a technical and also even like a hospitality standpoint, all of the things to make sure that whether it's the artist and the touring company, or if it's the guest, that the experience is top of the line.
Well, so when it comes to then landing some of those, you know, I think it's really fun to look, and it's a lot of names that it's not hard to say, oh wow, I know that person, right?
Yeah.
As we said, Whose Live Is It Anyway? Should be a great show. Juvenile.
Yes.
Right? Like, I don't not even know if I'm allowed to say the name of the tour.
I know.
On back that AZZ up. Oh. I mean, we all remember the song, right?
Yeah.
Let me see what you got. Ali Sadiq as well. Specifically, is there anything different in attracting those style of performers versus, you know, obviously the ballets and stuff that works on a different attraction level, I guess. I don't really have a good term for that. How does it work for bigger names like this?
I think for those to come through, that's really where we lean into the partnerships and relationships through ASM to help kind of advocate, because we are kind of a new fish in this game, I would say.
Absolutely.
So that's that, and it also kind of goes into how we as the venue and the community can really help support is showing up and showing out. So, you know, we want these events to be successful. And so having people, you know, we, especially as the marketing manager, sure, I see when we announce shows, you know, everybody's on Facebook, like tagging who they want to go with. And they're so excited. And like, we love seeing that. And we love even more when people really come out and show up, because it shows not only the venue, but it shows all of our connections. Like,
absolutely,
hey, this stuff works here. Let's keep doing it and let's try new things. And I think that's what we saw. You know, we've had a lot of country acts come through this year. We have, Riley Green coming through next year. And so we know that country works here, and that's great. But like, there's so many other genres of music, and we're starting to see those come in, and that's really exciting.
Before we get to the future, let's do a quick view of the past. What was the one concert, one event that really sticks out to you from what we've already had this past year?
I would say Whiskey Myers was really, really fun to see. That was my first. I joined the event center shortly after Parker McCollum, so I didn't get to see that show. So Whiskey was really the first big Coliseum show that I was there for. Getting to see all the parts and pieces moving in that was really exciting.
And it was slammed, right?
It was packed. It was so much fun. And also Paw Patrol, weirdly enough. Paw Patrol was so cool. And I think it's because it goes back to my theater side. Sure. Just seeing the production of that and like the setup and load in was really cool. And it's a fun kid show. Yeah.
I was really pleasantly surprised and excited, even though I'm not interested in listening to some of the country artists, seeing how well the shows did and how much enthusiasm and energy from the photos and the videos that I saw.
Yeah.
I mean, it just looked like an incredible time.
Yeah, and that's the really exciting thing to see. I remember when we went live, when Riley Green went on sale, you should have seen all of us huddled in the box office at the computer watching all of the seats go like gray when people were putting them in the cards. I think it was about 11 minutes that it was live.
That's
and
awesome.
They went. I mean, there's still some seats left, very few, but
but that shows the hunger that we have
yeah.
here, and that we're willing to support the acts that you guys are able to bring in, especially if it's really quality, and that's where the match is so important, obviously.
Yeah.
So let's break away from those shows. And there was a recent announcement where the rebrand, I guess you want to kind of say, of the event center and really downtown Lake Charles continues with a recent announcement of a new hotel that's being built on site of the event center, construction beginning in 2025. So what can you tell us about this project? And then I think there's an amphitheater then across the street, right?
Yeah.
What can you tell us about this project, and how do you feel like it will enhance the overall experience for visitors?
Yeah. I'm always the one who I wish I had the tea to share, but I really know as much as everybody else does about what's going on. There's so many parts and pieces to the project, as you can imagine, and the conversations right now have been at a much higher level. So I'm sure I'll get pulled in closer to when things are really getting activated. But I can say from just a perspective of what it's going to impact, it's going to be really great. I mean, we'll have it's just the walkability of the whole space and downtown in general is going to improve. We're going to be able to attract different types of events and different people who've probably never been here before into the community. And especially with the amphitheater, we'll have this great, great new space that kind of frames the downtown area and the waterfront and brings in these acts where we can, you know, sit in seats and enjoy outside music, which is perfect for here because the weather's so nice all the time.
Yeah. And I think one thing, once you kind of sit and think about it, you know, we get great events and great homegrown events like a CypherCon that obviously spends a lot of time and at the event center and does a great job. But then you can start getting, it's not just going to be single night events.
Yes.
The conventions and the different things that we'll be able to attract with it is kind of exciting as well.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, imagine what we can do with the amphitheater and having like a multi-day music event of a certain genre. Like those kind of things are now possible, and we can start kind of laying the groundwork for building things out like that we didn't do before.
Are there any long-term visions and goals for the event center as of right now?
I think for me, I envision it continuing to grow and really almost honoring what it was before. So I've, you know, when I started, and especially right on, you know, the heels of the name change, there's so much commentary about how, you know, the Civic Center used to be so busy and we had Elvis and Willie Nelson and all these greats of their time playing. And, you know, we want to bring that back. We want to do that again. And so now
we're bringing Elvis back?
You know, I just heard a conspiracy theory about that. We could talk about that offline. I think we might be able to bring him back. I think he's around.
Thank you very much.
just really making it the entertainment destination for this region. It's the only, you know, venue that we can that you can go with, you know, your kids for shows, and we have outdoor spaces, and it's so versatile. You can do so much within that building, even from a private event standpoint. I mean, it really can be a place where you do a lot and you make a lot of memories, and that's really what my goal is, especially why I kind of turned into event marketing, was to help market things that are really meaningful, and that's memories and that's experiences for people. So
I like the long-term goal locally. Let's look at it regionally, nationally. How do you stay competitive in the attraction scene, I guess I would say?
Yeah, I think that's continuously innovating and, you know, always striving for more. You know, we never want to rest on our laurels and just, you know, be satisfied with the status quo. At least that's not how I am, and that's not how I work. And so always advocating for doing things differently and trying new things and looking at those who are bigger than us and achieve success and, you know, seeing what we can learn from them. So yeah. And going back to also just like making sure that we stay up to date on like technology and looks and appearances and making sure that it's a fresh place, not somewhere that feels, you know, stagnant.
And then final question. I always like to kind of look towards the future for each question. So we kind of did it there. Yeah. And then are there any potential future events or partnerships that haven't been announced yet that you would like to break right here? You know, don't worry about NDAs. Don't worry about contracts.
There's nothing that I can share concert-wise just because things aren't booked and confirmed, and there are so many red tape lines with that.
Is there any good hints, or is there can you blink once if there is a really good name that y'all are working on?
There is, for millennials, I will leave that hint. There is an event that we're trying to get booked for either 25 or 26 that if you grew up in the mid-2000s and that was, you know, your teenage time, you're going to love it. And it's going to be such a good throwback.
All right. I like this. Okay.
Yeah. I'm so excited for it. It keeps moving on the calendar, and I want it to get locked in.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, look, I think a lot of people want to see NSYNC or the Backstreet Boys or Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera.
Could you imagine?
I'm just going to keep naming names. until you kind of have a guilty look on your face. I know, right? I nailed it.
Could you imagine Britney Spears makes her return?
That would That would be that would sell out really quick. I think a lot of people would support that.
Yes,
for obvious reasons. So
she was my first concert back in 2001.
Oh wow!
So I would definitely. I would be.
Are we getting on the Creed Three Doors Down tour?
I saw that and I was so sad. I was like, come on. That would have been so great.
That would have been great. I agree. Well, we appreciate you spending some time on the show and having some laughs and giving us some insight into what we've got coming in 2025 in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to continue to, show you guys what we got.
Thanks again to Emily for joining us here on the show. But as always, thank you most of all for taking time out of your day to listen to the podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please follow us, leave us a rating or review wherever you get your podcast, whether that be Apple or Spotify, maybe even YouTube. It'll help us grow our audience and further share the unique experiences that Lake Charles and Southwest Louisiana has to offer. You can find us at visitlakecharles.org/podcast, where you can find all of our episodes, some extra info on there, maybe where to eat. That's always a good one. And events happening this weekend. I'm Brady Raynard. Thanks again for coming to play at Louisiana's Playground. See you.